And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here along with Rock God Rick Mexa and the world headquarters. Let's Talk Hookup overlooking the San Diego Landings, where several of the long-range boats are unloading fantastic catches right now. Captain Brian Willie from Dana War Sport Fishing is here, having a great time and giving away a phenomenal prize.
Thanks, yeah, Brian. Man, if you didn't catch that at the beginning of the show, how about one lucky caller or texter at the end of today's show is going to win not one but two three-quarter day passes. You and a bro get to go fishing on a three-quarter day trip. Yeah, absolutely, out of Dana War Sport Fishing. So really exciting. Again, that prize is open to a caller or a texter. If you want to give us a call this morning, it has been a very busy morning, but we got another full hour, plenty of time to get you through. It's 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090 is the phone number. Or send us a text, and again, text the show option. It's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Free download. Just make sure when you send us a text, you have your name and your phone number on there, so if you win that big prize at the end of the show, we can get you all hooked up with those three-quarter day passes. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Let's jump into the phones.
Phones are packed, man. We got it. We're going to talk to Mike. He's calling us from Rosemead this morning. Mike, thanks for hanging in there with us. Good morning.
Thanks for picking up my line. Good morning, guys. The question initially was basically on the Fury, and I always go out on it at least once a year on a charter, so it's always nice to go out there. Can you kind of elaborate on how the harbor there is doing, as far as, I know they're revamping all the slips in the inner harbor and the congestion with all that. Is that all completed now, and anything to do with the can you just kind of mention about the closures when the military closes out Clemente? What do you guys do
got
on
it.
That?
So, I know, Marcus, when he fishes over there at Clemente, he obviously, as any captain would fish that island, does. They do their due diligence and, you know, get online and check and see what's available, what's open, what's closed, and, you know, monitoring their radios. I think it's important for everyone that fishes over there, you know, to just stay, you know, in tune with what's going on over there. Did they have to move around a little bit when they were over there this year? Yeah, they did. Is it a bummer? Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's an opportunity to, you know, fish over there is certainly bigger than, you know, not playing by the rules. So, you know, he's very, as everyone I think in the entire fleet is over there, you know, do what you got to do to stay, you know, compliant over there and move around. And, yeah, it's probably an inconvenience sometimes, but it is what it is. You just got to deal with that. As far as the harbor revitalization goes, yeah, they've, you know, removed some docks up in the West Basin over there. They're, you know, feverishly working away at doing stuff. They haven't really started on any of the, like, major construction, I think, with, you know, buildings and whatnot. I'm not real up on, you know, the behind the scenes. I'm just talking on what I've seen, you know, visually that they changed. And, yeah, they put some new docks in. It's amazing. Stuff looks really good. As far as any completion date, I have no idea, any of that kind of stuff. But, yeah, the ball is rolling in that, and they're working away.
That's only all owned by the city of Dana Point?
So it's the harbor's owned by the county.
The county.
Yeah, but there's a managing company that manages the harbor for the county. So what their calendar is or what their deal is, I have no idea. That's out of my scope of worry.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But I know they're working in there. From what I've seen, it's supposed to be super nice when it's done, so it'll be cool to kind of see.
So the harbor department there is county sheriff's, or
yep.
is it or
Orange
is
County
it their
Sheriff.
Own? They're
yeah, Orange County Sheriff.
Sheriff. Okay.
Yeah. They patrols it and keeps tabs on everything there.
Yeah.
Yep, cool.
Well, this next great text kind of rolls off of that same question. Good morning, gents. Could you describe the parking situation at Dana War? I'm loving this show, and I'm thinking about coming up from San Diego. Never had an opportunity to fish at Dana War Sport Fishing before, but I love all this great information. Also, are there light load trips, and can I do any catch and release with fish on the boat or giving my fish to other anglers if I'm not interested in taking home? That's all from Ted in San Diego.
Got it. So parking is free for us. It's it's close. You know, you park.
That's
maybe,
huge.
Maybe 200 yards from our offices is where the parking.
And plenty
is.
Of it.
Plenty of it. So you can park in. You can pull up in the morning, get your ticket, get your tackle and whatnot in line at the ramp there by the boat, and then go move your car. We give you a permit. It's close. It's right by the launch ramp if you're familiar.
So you
with
want it. So when you go there, you check in at the office first. Park your car in the 45 minute
whatever,
or one
yeah.
hour parking.
Exactly. Go check in
at the office.
Give you a parking permit in the morning with your ticket or whatever, and then you can go move your car, and then come back and line up before we load you on the boat.
And the move your car part was the couple hundred yards.
Yeah,
and that's
easy.
The thing. Like it the parking at Dana Wharf is fantastic.
It's easy. There's plenty of it.
Yeah, there's always spots right up in front, and then when you move your car, you're moving. That's the big distance is the couple hundred yards. You're right there. Parking is so
bad.
Killer.
So. There's that part. What was the other part of the
limited load trips.
Catch and release.
So yeah, catch and release. We have a lot of catch and release that goes on with our anglers. As far as giving fish away too, if you want to do that, yeah, we would just as soon see a catch it and put it back over the side. Is we have a lot of guys that will catch. Hey, do you want this? And try and give it away. That's between those two anglers. We don't really facilitate managing that for the angler, because again, it's your fish. You're responsible for making sure you're within the scope of what the law is. We'll help you with that. But we prefer just to see if you want to throw your legal bass back. That's cool. There's zero pressure from us on our end. Like, we're not all about the dollar on the flay board or whatever for the bass. We just soon see it throw it back and go from there.
Go catch
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right.
And then the last part of his question was, do you guys do any kind of limited load light trips?
Limited load light trips. We do some stuff during the summertime, like offshore. We're in some limited load stuff, all day trips. 25 angler type deal on some of our all day stuff.
And it sounds like that new San Mateo, that's a real light load.
New San Mateo run with 10 people, that's pretty limited load. That's always an option too during the summertime as well. So we try and put those trips up on our social media and whatnot and kind of get those trips out there when they're available that time of year when they're relevant.
Cool.
Great. Let's jump back in the phones. The line open 213-432-1090.
Roy in San Diego's up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Roy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Morning.
Great.
Good. Quick question. I'm kind of thinking jumping on a rock cut trip tomorrow and stuff, and I want to try and use one of my level wines, but my level wines are the smaller, low profile, like a Chang's 400 and a Fathom 400. Do either of those reels have the line capacity and or the torque to do, like, the rockfish trips now, like 300-600 feet or whatever?
Maybe not that 600 feet. You can fish that shallower stuff, that 300 and, less or whatever for sure, I think. Just you get away with your 30, 40-pound braid and an adequate leader. You don't need a long leader when you're fishing that rockfish. I think you can get away with that 400. I would think there's
absolutely
probably plenty of line to fish that. So
I think you hit the nail on the head. The key is that real skinny spectra. That you're talking 30-pound braid, you're going to get a lot of that line on the reel, and the diameter is so skinny that it cuts through the water real good, and you can you can get down easier with lesser sinker, and if you're fishing a rod that's matched to a Tranks 400 or something similar, then you're usually not using a super beefy rod, so it's tougher to fish a 12-ounce or 16-ounce sinker. But because that spectra's so skinny, you can get down okay with a 6 or an 8 or a 10, so yeah.
Just kind of scale it down a little bit, yeah. So plenty of opportunity with that setup for
that
sure.
That Tranks 400 for your shallower stuff, and then bring something that you can fish 600-700 feet with. Which,
yeah, and the days that we're fishing out in that deeper water, is when we have a lighter passenger load anyways, just because of the amount of, gear in the water. It's hard. It's hard to fish, 100 fathom when you have 25 people in the boat.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. So
how many ounces of lead are you fishing?
I mean, we're fishing minimum a pound, so. But with that's where it kind of starts. Current dependent, of course, but man, that today's tackle with that braided line has made such a difference in being able to get that stuff down.
And for the sport of it, too, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, and it's the same thing, like Rick was just talking, that shallower water with that smaller braid, you can scale down your sinker, and that's kind of, even on the deeper side of things, that braid, you can still scale down. You don't need a 5-pound sinker anymore to get to the bottom.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Roy, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. That does 3 up, 213-432-1090. I have a great text here from Tom in Temecula. He says, good morning, guys. On your cod trips, is there a descending outfit to get cow cod safe and other fish safely returned?
Yeah, we use those very frequently. We use that Sequalizer.
Sequalizer.
Well, sometimes, depending on where we're fishing and what we're catching, we'll we'll have a ganyon. You know, we'll have two or three of those things tied on one piece of tuna cord and, you know, pound and half a weight and send them on down.
So is that something that the angler is responsible for doing? Or
no, we'll help you with that. Yeah, you don't need to worry about bringing that kind of stuff.
Nice.
We have that all set up and ready to go on all of our boats when we're out there fishing rockfish for those fish that we got to descend.
All right, cool.
That's cool. All right, let's jump right back into them. And this time we're going to talk to Bob, Long Range Bob, calling us from Dana Point. Good morning,
the
Bob.
Long Range Bob.
Tell me this is the Wolf Man.
The Wolf Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Bob?
Well, one time a few years ago, we were catching a bunch of yellowtail at Box Canyon. You remember that trip?
I do. I remember watching Brian. You get your fair share. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, and what kind of conditions are you needing for that to happen again?
So that was an interesting deal. We had come off of an El Nino summer, remember, and then we saw all that red crab had kind of pushed in on that hard bottom. And for whatever reason, that red crab lit up here, and it seems like those yellowtail are synonymous with that red crab, especially, you know, when that stuff's down off Baja. And I just think that body of water that year was something, you know, commensurate with what you find off like Colonnade or, you know, somewhere like that. And that water was just there. That feed was there, and that fish was there with it too. So that water, you know, it was kind of a mild winter too. I don't think the water got incredibly cold. It was similar to what we're seeing now. But, you know, I don't think we came off a comparable, you know, summer El Nino. Maybe next winter, you know, there's all this talk of this potential El Nino for this summer. You know, they're saying it's supposed to be a pretty impressive deal. So maybe if those conditions, you know, run through this summer, maybe next, you know, fall, because I think we fished that stuff in like December in 2015 was when that stuff was really biting down there. So maybe it'll be a deal too. It'd be good to get you back out there, Bob, and get you tied up to some of those things again.
There you go. Hey, thanks. Absolutely. Nice to hear from you, Bob. Merry Christmas to you. That does free up 213-432-1090. Rick?
Yeah, great times this morning. Again, if you want to send us a text, too, very busy on the text, and it's been really good. We had a great one right here. It says, good morning, Willie. I had another great season fishing at Dana Wharf, from the Fury to our charter with you on the Sum Fun. My question is, how do you decide whether or not to take your full-day trips to Catalina or stay around San Ofre? I really like fishing the local islands whenever possible. Can't wait to see you again in 2024. That's from Sean in Blossom Valley.
Cool. So our all-day stuff, you know, depending on the time of the year, is going to kind of dictate on what we do. Kind of like early summer, when that, you know, offshore fish maybe isn't up in our zone quite yet, we'll probably end up at Catalina. We'll, you know, end up somewhere over there targeting that bass, yellowtail, bonito, barracuda, that kind of stuff. Later in the summer to early fall is when we'll probably, you know, shift gears depending on what's available to us on those offshore banks. You know, we've got incredible fishing on that 209, the 277 out, you know, to that 312, which was a phenomenal zone for that bluefin and yellowfin this summer. We had some really good fishing out there, and it was close. You know, we were fishing inside of 25 miles there. So it all depends on time of year and, you know, what the water temp is and what's in that water. You know, we're not going to just go offshore depending on what the, you know, the charter wants to go offshore, and we'll go look around. We just try and set them up with, you know, their options, right? What's best with the time frame that we have and what's available to us. So, yeah, we're not going to drag you offshore if it's not, you know, conducive to what we're going to do.
All right. Hey, the Iron Man, Gary White from Lawndale, says, good morning, everyone. Years ago, the power plant made warm water area, and with the shutdown of the power plant, did that affect fishing in that area?
You know, it is a good question. There's, you know, there was kelp. You know, persistent kelp is a thing, right, having kelp in certain areas. And I can tell you, I don't know if it's related or not, but there was a massive kelp bed off San Onofre when they were running the water in and out of that station. On that same little area of hard bottom in like 8 to 10 fathom, you can drive around. There's not a string or a kelp growing off that hard bottom. It's crazy. It's just barren.
Really?
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know if it has to do with the way that water was, you know, pushing spores and moving stuff around or not. I don't know. I'm not the kelp professional by any means,
though.
But those areas that we've had just crazy thick kelp off that San Onofre area, it's not there.
It's gone.
Kelp's such a wild thing in that it grows so fast, and that given the right conditions, it can flourish and be thick as you can imagine, or just not there at all. It's
what
wild.
Was so crazy is, right, you think cooler water.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we had a cold winter last year, and it didn't grow. Is it urchins on the bottom? I don't know. I'm not at the bottom there.
Was the water warmer in that zone?
I mean, the water would come out of the pipe. I don't know what temp it would come out of the pipe at, right? But you would think that by the time it, you know, kind of trickled up and got to the surface, yeah, maybe it was a little bit warmer, but did it make much of a difference? I don't really know.
But maybe your theory about the currents that it created.
Yeah, certainly when that thing was on, you could see the water movement at the surface for sure when they were, you know, moving water around within it created, you know, current for us, and you're able to fish bass and that kind of stuff. But yeah, those areas there where there used to be kelp when that plant was there is not there. Is it related? I don't know, but it's just, is it coincidental? Maybe. I don't know.
I remember the first time I was cruising up there in the early days when the power plant was going, and came across the area where the pipe was coming out, and just these big swirls, and I thought, oh, I'm going up on the rocks.
Boiler.
Right?
Right.
Boiler, right. Yeah. But no. Just all the
outflow, yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, did something actually amazingly enough good for the environment.
Right, yeah, who knows? Right. Yeah, the structure's still there. We still fish it. We still catch plenty of fish on it, but the water's not moving in and out of it like it was.
That's good. Well, look, it's who's time. On the line.
It's time, man, no doubt. It's time for your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. And today, that FishDope.com catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, the all-new and easier online system to book your processing for long-range trips, plus the new addition of the great new team members that are going to continue to make Fisherman's Processing far ahead of the rest for more same-day capacity and the finest customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check Fisherman's Processing. .com for more information. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Brian, Rick, Pete. Kelly girl's loving listening to you, Brian. She just misses Dana Point so bad.
It's a special place.
Absolutely. Something y'all need to understand that are listening. There's something special about Dana Point. You can get on Brian's boat, and you can literally be fishing in the ocean in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
There's no other harbor on the coast like that. That's the most magical thing about Dana Point. When those bass are biting on the pipe right in front of the harbor, it's pretty magical. You can get on the boat, order a cheeseburger, and your cheeseburger isn't even done by the time you're fishing.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
The deckhands hate the captain for that, right? They're like, I got so many people to get set up, and you're telling them to drop the anchor already.
Oh, yeah, they used to hate me. And if you showed up and you weren't in a good mood in the morning and the wind was blowing offshore and it was freezing, I would park there just because.
Yeah. But just cut your day.
I absolutely believe.
Yes.
I absolutely
believe. Yes. We're going to stop right here. We're on a three-quarter day, Cap. I know. I said I know. We're going to start here on the pipe.
Yeah, we're just going
right
to get a quick check.
Freeze the attitude out.
Oh, yeah, the good old days. But, gang, like Brian was saying, there is such a phenomenal sign of halibut. That the halibut fishing at Catalina right now is absolutely ridiculous. You can actually plan your day around catching halibut, which is pretty spectacular. We got to talk about it a little bit last year, but this year it's full speed again. It's pretty spectacular. And that halibut derby going off at Dana Wharf starting January 1st, I think it would be silly if you're going on a trip and you don't buy a halibut derby ticket. That would be kind of silly because the chances, like Ricky was saying, anywhere you fish in Dana Point, you got a good chance to catch a halibut. And then as far as other fishing goes, it's still really good calico bass fishing over at Catalina and along the coast if you find the right conditions, fly line baits, and then like Brian was talking about earlier, the rockfish fishing is really, really good, and we only got, a week and a half of that, and then we're going to have to take off for 3 months on that. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be fish to catch. There's going to be plenty of stuff to do. Like Brian was saying, there's all kinds of fish to catch at Dana Point, halibut, sheephead, sculpin. There's plenty of fish up and down the coast, so there's no reason to not go fishing when they close the rockfish thing. You just got to roll with the punches, and there's never not a time to go fishing. You got to go fishing.
Yeah, that's for sure. And so let's clarify that. So starting January 1st for 3 months, the rockfish season closes.
Right.
What can you catch? We know you can catch halibut.
Yep, halibut. Oh, obviously, bass is open. Sculpin will be on the table as
sheephead?
It is now. Sheephead is closed until March 1st.
March 1st. Okay, so 2 months.
Yep.
But you know what? You can catch them.
Yeah, you just got to release them.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yep. It's fine. Yep. Most people release everything they catch nowadays anyway, so why not go?
Totally.
Yeah. Everybody but Dave, right?
I'm not even going to touch that one, Pete. I'm not touching that.
Are we talking to a kinder, gentler Dave Hanson right now?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. But my sister was like, hey, we're doing a release tournament out of Dana Wharf. I'm like, you're doing a what? Excuse me?
Okay.
Yeah, the good old days. I wouldn't fly on the Seahorse. Yeah, I wouldn't understand that.
Well, whatever it is, whether you want to know regulations, what's biting everything, fishdope.com is your source. They have all the regulations, all the, they'll keep you guided in the right direction, photos of what you can, what you can't take, all that stuff is at fishdope.com. Price is going up January 1st to $199 a year. Still a super good bargain.
Yeah.
But if you want to take advantage of the deal right now, you can add to your membership, another year to your membership right now. Whether your membership expires today, you can add an extra year for the old price of $169, save $30 before January 1st. Or use the code HOOKUPNOW if you're a new Fish Dope member to save $30. And Dave, how do we find you?
Well, gang, check me out, Your Saltwater Guide, on every piece of social media, and also Your Saltwater Guide if you want to quit following Brian Woolley around and actually find your own fish. Thank you, Pete, Rick, and I'll talk to you guys next Sunday on the big holiday extravaganza.
Yeah, okay, so what is Dave Hanson going to have for a take next Sunday, huh?
Might have to stay right on that little button, Rick. Might have to stay right.
Always ready.
It sure will be fun.
All right, you guys. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Christmas spectacular.
See you, Dave.
It'd be fun for sure.
See you guys.
All right. Great. Let's jump back on the phone.
Hey, that sounds good to me. If you want to get your shot to get through, talk to Captain Woolley and have your shot at winning those trips, 213-432-1090. Open phone line right now. Let's talk to Bruce. He's calling us from Lemon Grove. Hey, Bruce. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as usual. Captain Brian, what do you think the size increase from 12 inches to 14 has done to the fishery there?
That's a good question. Question for sure. You know, certainly it's benefited, you know, the mass of both that kelp bass and the sand bass. We've seen a ton of fish. There's obviously no shortage of calico bass on the coast whatsoever. I think that the change from the 10 fish to 5 fish was probably, you know, a good call, you know. But it certainly helped. One thing that, you know, those fish have a mortality rate, right? Like, there's only so many times you can catch a short fish and safely take the hook out of it and release it and catch it again and release it that might not be great for the fish. So, you know, someone told me, I don't remember if it was Crook or somebody, that, you know, those fish have a 20% mortality rate when they're caught with rod and reel on a hook, right? So you would think if you catch that same fish 5 times, if it's undersized, eventually one of those times it's right. Not going to be great for the fish, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's great long term, 100% for the fish. But I think the bigger move that was probably the better move was that change from the 5,
the 10
from the
five.
10 to the 5.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
But it's good. We don't have a problem with it.
So when you said yesterday you released 200 bass.
200 bass.
Was that under 14 inch bass?
Yeah, those were fish that were under. Some of them were probably right there. Some of them were probably legal, and they just said, you know, I'm just going to put it back, and we didn't, you know. We'd rather than take the fish off and lay it up against, you know, something to measure it before we throw it back. We'd rather just get the hook out of it as fast as we can and get it back in the water anyway. So some of those were for sure probably legal fish.
Yeah.
But, you know, the ones that went home with the anglers are the ones that we report as, you know, kept fish.
Yeah. You know, illegal when you see it, or at least one totally. that's over legal. There's no, you know, there's no question. And
right.
Like you say, why bother holding everyone up when half of them are an eighth over and half of them are an eighth under?
Yeah.
Chuck that thing back.
And just throw it back. And there's some times in the summer you get down at some of those kelp spots like Barn Kelp down there off North County and off Las Pulgas or whatever there on Camp Pendleton, where there's clouds of thousands, literally thousands and thousands of calico bass behind the boat. So it's not hurting. But yeah, you know, the change is what it is, but I'm sure long term it's definitely helping.
14 inch calico bass is a nice fish.
It's a good fish,
that's
for
a
sure.
Good fish, man. Yeah, totally. Pulls hard and fun times.
Fun stuff, no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Rick, you have one, huh?
I thought so, yeah. It says, good morning, guys. Brian, can you tell us the type of setup that you prefer most for halibut? Is it similar to sheephead? Do you like reverse dropper loop or Carolina rig? Also, what are your thoughts on three-way swivels and sinker slides? Also, how heavy a leader should I be fishing? That's all from John and Carson.
Got it. I think anything with less knots is better. So those three-way swivels, I mean, you just have multiple, you know, potential for failure, right, with multiple knots. Just the cleanest, best setup, I think, is that reverse dropper loop. Tie the knot. You've got, you know, one knot and then your connection to your hook. It eliminates a lot of potential problems. It gives you the flexibility of changing your sinker like we kind of talked to earlier. I think that's probably the best. Like, the store-bought leaders are great or whatever, but we don't recommend those things. There's just too much potential for something. I mean, they're tied by a machine. You know,
right.
Let us help you tie something on a boat that, you know, we know works and know will work for you.
You talked about having a snelled trap hook. Like, when would you go? Is that only if you're fishing a mackerel? Like, when would you go to it versus not? Is it all about bait size? Or 100%. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, 100% bait size. If your baits, I think, I would say if something's like 10 inch starting, you know, get some of that big bow honk, you might want to have a rod set up with, you know, that trap hook. Some people will fish a trap hook no matter what size bait they're fishing. They just want that, you know, added benefit of, you know,
not missing.
In their head of not missing a bite, right? Does it make that much of a difference? You know, maybe those fish are going to inhale that bait, whether it's a 6 inch sardine or a, you know, 10 inch or 12 inch mackerel, you know, they're going to get that whole fish in there. So just the key is having your knots good and eliminating any potential failure. But those swivels and stuff, I think in theory swivels are a great thing, but I think they're a freaking nightmare.
I'm with you.
It's just too many knots.
It's just too many things, and they don't work. I don't think they work as well as, you know, you think they do with, you know, giving you that mobility and the line able to move and to spin around. I think it just creates more tangles.
You fishing mono, fluorocarbon? What do you fish?
Guys will fish both. I think fluorocarbon would be a good call. Isn't necessary. I don't think so. Those halibut are just so aggressive, and they're going to eat. If it's in front of them, they're going to eat it. They don't care if they see, you know, obviously they see two hooks and a big bait.
Right.
They don't care. They're just wolfing down what's in front of them. Yeah. So it doesn't make a difference, maybe. I don't think it's necessary.
I'm with you on the trap hook thing. Like, a big bait, there's times you need it. If you're fishing a, you know, one-pound mackerel, like, sometimes you just have to have that trap hook rig. But for the most part, fishing a sardine, the fish that you're fishing for has no problem eating that,
totally.
Eating that bait. Sure, a 14, 18-incher, like, sometimes the trap hook is the reason you catch those ones, but that's not what you're intending to get in the first place. It just always seems that way. Like, you know, you get people always talk about the halibut, like, ah, he's chewing on it, and he's moving the thing around, and, like, that almost is never the way the bite happens when you get a real one. It's just, you know, thunk, and your rod doubles over.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got that one. You know, no doubt. Like, the ones you're fishing for, they eat it.
Totally.
100%. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot of Let's Talk Hookup left. More of your phone calls and texts. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. We're on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have three great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shopper, a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Cheat and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle. Growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Hello, anglers. It's not often second chances become reality when we are fishing. However, sometimes a second chance happens when you least expect it. This is Tim with Friends of Rollo, and several years ago, we raffled off Rollo's custom CalStar jig stick. The winner, Cliff Friend, was a longtime supporter of the Rollo program, and the family has just donated this rod back to us. Friends Rollo is going to give someone a second chance to own Rollo's personal jig stick. Entering Rollo's Rod Raffle is easy. Simply purchase a book of 2024 Grand Raffle tickets, and you will get an entry into the drawing. The winner will be drawn on December 24th. What better Christmas present to give yourself than a piece of fishing history? Books and tickets are $200, and Friends of Rollo will give each person that buys a book 5 tickets free. Tickets can be purchased by contacting us at win@rollokids.org or by calling 951-264-7382. On behalf of all of us at Friends of Rollo, good luck.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank DePressi of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Hi, this is Bill Varney, and when I'm not surf fishing, I'm at California's premier outdoor recreation shows. The Bart Hall Shows, January 25th through 28th at the Long Beach Convention Center, and February 15th through the 18th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Details at hallshows.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning talking fishing. Again, if you want to get through, give us a call at 213-432-1090.
Yeah, and I got a great text here from Alex in San Carlos. He says, good morning, guys. I'd love to take my niece and nephew out on their first half-day trip. Do you have any recommendations for us adults who want to take kids fishing to make sure they have a good time? What a
totally.
Great question.
Leave your fishing rod at home.
Oh.
Yeah, leave your rod at home. Spend, you know, the dads are the parents that come out with us that spend like 2, maybe 3 trips, right? Spending the time with their kids, showing them how to do all this stuff and not worrying about what you're going to catch are the ones that down the road don't have to worry about because those kids become self-sufficient.
Okay.
So the best advice we tell us is just leave your rod, spend all
Bring
your time.
Bring your rod, but let your kid use
let
it.
Let your kid use it, that's fine, yeah. But just don't worry about what you're going to catch that day. Spend all that time, you know, showing the kids what's up and showing them a good time, and that will just come back tenfold in what, you know, that opportunity is later. They will want to come back on a boat with you again and go again with you if you know you spend that time with them now. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. How good info is that?
That's good.
That's from the guy that gets to see kids coming and having the good times.
Yeah,
we see it all.
Yeah,
you
bet.
See the misery when the dad's trying to fish and he's frustrated, out of his mind, frazzled, because they're like, dude, you're missing the whole point of this thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Good advice.
No doubt, man.
Leave your rod at home. Concentrate on the kids catching fish.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Hooking in hand. You guys probably do a lot of hooking in hand.
Yeah, we do that for sure. Yeah, totally. We'll help those kids figure it out.
It's all about the tug, right?
It's like anything. You spend a few minutes instructing and showing them, you know, how to do it. Kids pick up on stuff fast, right? They're sponges. They want to learn. They want to do it. And, you know, you do something like that, fun with them, and they figure it out, and there's no pressure, then it just, multiplies that 100 times.
Perfect.
All right. Hey, a great text come through. Hey to Pete, Rick, and Brian. Brian, can you talk a little bit about the different boats in the Dana Point fleet, including the newest additions, the Dana Pride and the new San Mateo? Also, are there any fish processing companies that are going to become available for the tuna fishing this year? Merry Christmas to all you guys. I can't wait. That's from Joe from J-Lo Fishing Rods.
Cool. Dana Pride is 20 years old.
Really? Come on.
Well, 2002, so it's 21 years old. Yeah,
no.
I was in Mike Hansen's office the other day. We're looking at the boat. We're like, man. I'm like, dude, that thing's 21 years old now.
We're just talking about that. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel old enough to remember when that boat, first tied up to the dock the first time.
2002 is when, Dana Work took delivery of that boat. Yeah, it's wild. And then that new San Mateo would be the newest addition as far as the fishing goes. That's kind of the newest additions to the fleet. But as far as the rundown, you know, the Dana Pride, the Clemente, and the Sun Fun will run those half day and three quarter day and all day stuff. And then the real fun is pretty much half day duty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll get some charters for three quarter day and stuff, but they're pretty much half day. And that's such a cool old nostalgic
boat. Yeah,
totally. Low to the water. It's just a cool old
boat. It's
made
to be on a kelp line fishing bass somewhere. It's so perfect.
Yeah, it's sweet. So just, you know. We all kind of do everything.
Fish processing, you guys take care of that on the boat for guys?
We do it, yeah. We keep stuff cold as best as we can on the boat. The new San Mateo does have a RSW set up on there that keeps that stuff frigid. The other boats, we use kill bags and ice. And, you know, it's no different if you're on your skiff and you have your kill bag and ice. We do the same thing. Some of the
gunny sacks.
I mean, we use gunny sacks too, but, you know, for our rockfish trips. But we hold tons of ice and we keep everything iced down. Yeah. And there's gone are the days of just trash, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, we do what we can to keep everything.
So what's the procedure? So you keep it in the gunny sack, tag it, and then put it in the bag?
Yeah, in the kill bag. We'll do that on our charters. You know, we'll tag it, and or we'll have, you know, stringer, and we'll string it up and drop it in the ice of the kill bag that way.
Nice.
Three-quarter day stuff. This time of year, we, you know, keep the fish. It's in the gunny sack, but it's iced. We just constantly keep putting ice on top of it. So it stays cold. It's fine. And the weather is sunny, but if you stay on top of that kind of stuff, it stays perfect at the end of the day. Nice white blaze. Yeah, keep cold. Yeah.
That's the difference. You guys do that. Like you take every little step, and you do. Oh, you know, the guys are always taking care of that, and you always take every step that's able to be taken. It always happens at Dana.
We try and do our best with that stuff for sure.
Hey, James in Lakeside has a question. I have a question about small octopus hooks for sheephead. Do you recommend them?
I mean, small hook and sheephead sounds like your potential for disaster. You know, that stuff bends and straightens out and breaks. Regular J hook, something sharp if you want to, a Gamagatsu, one or a 2-0, depending on what you're using for bait. You know, if you're gonna use a whole shrimp, you're gonna, you know, beef up your hook size. But I don't necessarily know if those smaller hooks are the key. Certainly they'll get you, you know, pierced and hooked up for sure. But strength wise, I don't know if that's maybe the best call for those things, especially when they're pulling hard.
And those things, like, they're designed to crush through crab and shrimp and everything else. You get some of those thin wire hooks, and they'll literally bust through it. Yeah. They will. That thing ends up in the wrong spot. They'll crush right through those.
That jaw is like a vice. Yeah.
They're badass.
Yeah, they're
cool fish.
They're amazing fish, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, hey, why don't we jump back into the phones? This time we'll talk to Charles calling us from Dana Point this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. I love your show. Brings back a great deal of memories. Date myself, 50 years ago, I fished out of Dana Wharf, and you could walk across the kelp all the way on down. So my first question is about the San Onofre Reef that they supposedly had built after they closed the plant. I was wondering, has that ever, you mentioned there's no kelp, but has that proven to hold fish? Do you guys fish it? And now I'm going to ask you a second question. Whatever happened to all the sand bass? I remember, man, we used to go down there off of the trestles and whoa.
Totally.
And then the last one, I don't think there's a funner trip in the world than going out on a full load party boat at night and catching those big Humboldt squid. That is a hoot.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. That's fun stuff. You know, when that stuff's around, we'll get out there and get after it. As far as
sand bass,
yeah. If you can solve that mystery, that's great.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, right.
I know that it's a big trap fishery in Baja. It's a huge fishery for those guys down there. So is that part of the deal? I don't know, but I know that it's a very lucrative, you know, fishery for those guys in Mexico.
Did you say a trap fishery?
Yeah, they live fish trap that stuff down there. Yeah, you can go online and look some of that stuff up. It might blow your mind.
I will, yeah.
And as far as that whole reef program, it's called the Wheeler Reef. You can go online and look that stuff up. Yeah, we fish it. Yes, there's kelp. When I said there's no kelp, I was just referring to one specific spot that we used to see it quite a bit, but it's not there now. Through that Wheeler Reef that starts, just above San Mateo Point and runs all the way up through San Clemente to well above the pier there, to almost Beach Road, if you know where I'm talking there in Capo Beach. There's parts of that reef all through there. Yeah, it holds fish. There's kelp in it. The commercial lobster fishing guys do very well on that reef. It's healthy. And yeah, there's fish there. So that was part of their whole project.
So that was an artificial reef. Oh, the
mitigation. Yeah, it was mitigation for whatever, for San Onofre. But yeah,
Made of? Just like old.
So it's rock. It's quarry rock from Catalina that they brought in and rolled out. It's the deal with it, it's single relief. There's no big high spots that they built on it. They had to duplicate the reef that, you know, essentially I don't know who's the coastal commissioner, whoever said was, you know, the mitigate the loss for whatever happened down there. They had to, you know, basically build it in the same depth and the same structure that it was down below. So there's no big high spots on it. It's all single relief rock, and it's all kind of scattered and interspersed around existing hard bottom that was already there.
Oh, so it's on top of the hard bottom.
No, it's around it. So they didn't dump it on top of the existing hard bottom. They just kind of, you know, butted it up again.
But it's not miles of it, huh?
There's miles. Yeah.
Wow.
From basically just above Trestles all the way up through San Clemente.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's massive, and I think it's one of the biggest artificial reefs in the U.S., so, yeah, go online and check it out. But it's giant.
Wheeler Reef? That's
Wheeler Reef. Oh, yeah.
Who was Wheeler?
He was one of the scientists.
Other than Anthony's Ford.
He's got it on Anthony's Ford.
Yeah, he's one of the scientists that was involved in the whole
process. Cool.
I don't know all the details, but okay.
There's
plenty of info that you can pull up and get all the dynamics, all the factors that, you know, they're required to keep track of, fish stocks, algae, kelp, all kinds of stuff that they're required to stay on top of.
Yeah. All right. Hey, text from Mike in San Juan Capistrano. Says, good morning, guys. Great show. So far, Dana Wharf is my local landing. I really enjoy fishing with Brian on the Some Fun. Fishing areas around Dana Point Harbor are super varied, and most captains change their fishing game plans on a daily basis. I was wondering what thought process that Brian goes through when he's deciding where to fish each morning.
Got it.
There's
lots of decisions to be made, right? Lots of factors. Bait factor, you know, live bait fishing fishes, I think, better in certain areas than in other areas. Areas with the kelp, I think we'll fish that live bait, you know, fly line fish, that stuff different than we would, say, in some areas where there's, you know, no kelp. Depends on the group of anglers that we have on the boat. If we have, you know, quite a bit of people where we can't get the boat into the kelp because, you know, we're more full, and then we might target some hard bottom areas where everyone can kind of get down to the bottom and get a bait out away from the boat without, you know, worrying about, you know, prime position across the back of the boat or something like that. And, you know, where did you have good fishing the day before? We'll come into, you know, making that decision at the end of the day. So lots of different factors. Yeah, sometimes it may seem like we head the same direction for whatever reason, but we try and spread the effort out. You know, if it's really good one way, we'll fish it until we maybe see something change in a different area and just kind of adjust from there. So, yeah, day to day for sure. But is one area better than the other? I don't necessarily think so. Just when we go up the coast, we are limited because of, you know, the MPAs up through Laguna Beach. You know, we can only go so far before we hit that line and we can't fish. So there's more to fish below our harbor that's open, obviously, than what's above. But there's times that we'll, you know, make the jump all the way through the closure and fish some stuff up, you know, above Laguna, up through Crystal Cove and that zone, too. Just kind of depends on what's going on.
We had a good text come through. It's a little long and was all over the place, but there was a part of it that was directed at the halibut derby, and it was just talking about really big halibut and, you know, how, like, some areas are consistent with kicking out real big ones, Channel Islands and Clemente and things like that. And basically his question was, what is it about some areas that are synonymous with fish, you know, above Holy Grail size, 50 pounds, and why don't we necessarily see those fish sprinkled in all the way up and down the coast?
That's a good question. You know,
Is it condition?
I think feed and condition. You know, I think that fish does like the milder temperatures. It seems like, you know, when we catch that fish consistently during our derbies, it's, you know, this derby's running from January through March, and the water's typically cooler. You have more bait, you know, out off of the, you know, out instead of being inside the shallower water where it is during the summer and the water's warm, you know, our bait guys are setting and making their sets in tight, you know, because that's where the bait is when the water's warmer. The water cools off, that stuff moves out, and I think that bigger fish is out in that deeper water. The commercial guys, when they used to fish that stuff, were fishing, you know, 400 or 500 feet of water for halibut back, you know, when they were able to commercial fish that stuff out with their nets and whatever. But that fish moves for sure with the bait. Why there's bigger fish in certain areas, I don't know, but it seems like we catch plenty of it when it's in our zone, and I think it's all interrelated to with where the bait's at that particular time.
You've been doing this close to 30 years. How many 50-pound halibut have you seen?
I haven't seen a 50-pound halibut in our zone. We've seen some, you know, high 30s, low 40s, like
really?
big fish. But our average fish, you know, 8 to maybe 25 pounds is probably, you know, what we see in our derbies. Yeah, there's been years where we've had, you know, 5-pound fish, just barely legal fish, and, you know, fish up to 25 inches. But, you know, I think anything in that, you know, 12 to 25-pound range is pretty standard for what we catch through there.
I just can't imagine fishing local and seeing a 50-pounder come out. I mean, just when you see how big a 20-pounder is or a 30-pounder, it's just I just can't imagine a local 50. Yeah.
I've seen a 30 pounder, but I've nothing even close to bigger than
that. Yeah, I mean, that's massive.
Yeah. It's a big fish.
My sister's first local halibut was a 42 pounder.
Oh, man.
It's the biggest one I've ever got to see. You know, squid nest fishing.
Calico Carly?
Yeah, yeah. Her first halibut ever, first legal halibut, was a 42 pounder.
Oh, nice start.
Well bigger. Nice start. I mean, probably 10 pounds bigger than any one I've ever had. You know, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, 42 pounder.
Whopper.
It's pretty crazy. That's a good one. Yeah. Dan in Scotts Valley has a question for you, Brian. Didn't hear anything about white sea bass.
Hey.
Speaking of the Holy Grail, did the fishery drop off or just looking offshore for these? Because, I mean, your zone there for a long time, you know, Brandon Henry was just slaying them down in that San Onofre area. There.
You know,
we
it's
just
all,
didn't hear that this
it's
year.
It's all based on squid cycle, you know, and I'll tell you, I'm not on top of that whole scene just because, you know, that fish is in and out. It's a lot of fishing at night.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do that out of Dana Horse Sport Fishing. Are there hardcore sea bass guys out of Dana Point? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's all bait. It's all squid. It's all squid cycle stuff. So, you know, we get in one of those good squid cycles again where that stuff's in on our stretch of beach. We've got perfect habitat, you know, for that squid to push in and to stay. There's been years that, you know, we've had just squid for months in our zone, and those sea bass guys get in there and work on a school of fish and kind of follow it up, you know, where they need to, you know, catch that stuff in those different zones. But we do catch, you know, sea bass. Obviously, there's fish that are always around, right, in the zones.
I was going to say, you're running that Sun Fun 5-6 days a week. How many sea bass have you seen this year?
Yeah, well, we don't catch a whole lot of them. We catch a lot of juvenile fish.
Juvenile, sure.
Yeah, quite
legals,
a bit of that stuff.
Ones that you're keeping.
Legals, you know, I could probably count on one hand the number
really?
That we caught this year. But, you know, that bigger fish is there. It's around, so there's certainly that opportunity. But, you know, we don't have trips that specifically target sea bass. We have guys that do, you know, some of our four-pack guys. Yeah, totally. Like Christian Sikas on the Lexi.
Yeah.
He'll, you know, target that if he needs to over at Clemente or Catalina or whatever.
Yeah.
But on the coast, yeah, we see it. Yeah, we catch it. Do we target it? Not necessarily.
Speaking of those smaller operations like Christian Sikas, is that booked through the landing?
Yep. You can call the landing, he can book it. You can go on his website and he can, you know, book you from there. But most of that stuff's best to check availability and whatnot through our office. Call the charter department. They can get you dialed in with that whole setup.
At DanaWarSportFishing.com.
Yep.
Do they list all the boats? I know we can link that right
on
the
front
page.
Yeah, you can go right.
That's our website. Let's talk hookup.
Yep, go online. It gives you the full rundown of their rates, their availability, and all that kind of stuff.
For all the boats at Dana War.
Yeah.
Okay, so everything's listed from the four packs all the way up to whatever you want to do. That's pretty sweet. Nice stuff.
Yep.
Hey, when we come back, speaking of Dana War Sport Fishing Going Fishing, we're going to find out who's got those 3-quarter-day passes. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Back in 1979, my parents started Fast Lane Sailing Center. They lived in a VW van in the parking lot and sold catamaran sailboats. And over the years, the shop has evolved. They've sold everything from windsurfers to barbecues, paddleboards, and trailers. Here's the point. For over 40 years, my parents, and eventually me, my brother Jared, and sister Ava, have been in the business of fun and making memories on the water with friends and family. If something's in the shop, it's a product we use, are passionate, and knowledgeable about, and want to share with you. We encourage you to come down to our shop, Fast Lane Kayaking on Mission Bay, and check out our huge selection of Hobie Mirage kayaks, accessories, and more. and let's get you on the water. Fishing with friends, enjoying the coast with your family, or exploring mountain lakes in solitude. In other words, having fun and making memories.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. All right, Cap Woolley's going to do us the honor. Flip that prize coin. Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Texter. Today. Congratulations, cool. Matt from L.A. You got it, man. You got two passes. You're going fishing. You and a bud going fishing. Three-quarter day trips at a Dane Wharf Ford Fishing.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Congratulations.
So cool.
And kind of give us a schedule. What's the winter schedule?
Cool. So winter schedule right now during the week, we have half-day and three-quarter day boats every day. Half-day departs during the week at 10 a.m. Three-quarter day leaves at 6.
Half-day, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. during the week.
Sleep in.
Yep. On the weekends, we have a three-quarter day boat. Same deal. Departs at 6 a.m. Double half-day. Mm-hmm. One at 6:30 and then another one at 12.
Okay. Perfect. And that's so, through the winter.
That's through the winter.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, winter starts on Thursday of this week. So,
okay.
Wow. Yeah, huh?
Good. We can start getting our sunshine back.
For me yesterday morning when I walked in the house, man, it was a little chilly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Cool,
but
cool.
So how do we book?
Cool. Different ways. I mean, we're all over social media. You can check out what we have going on online there. But the best way to book is online. You can go to danawharf.com, book half day, three quarter day, whale watch, whatever, online. You can always call our office and check in with those guys, kind of see what's going on, what's available as well. But, yeah, booking online is the best way to do that stuff.
Yeah, and you can link that right on the front page of the Let's Talk Hookup website. Click on that Dana Wharf banner.
Yep.
It takes you right there. Or
right
just go
there.
To DanaWharfSportFishing.com.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
See all the boats and
the full rundown.
And then what are your days? I mean, if people say, I want to go fishing with that guy, he sounds really cool.
I'm one of those guys.
Yeah. Come down. I take Tuesdays and Sundays are my days off.
Those are
my 2 days.
Okay.
I split them up and get business handled at home and whatnot. And
so you came here on your day off?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wow.
Come down here,
and all your call-ins every Sunday, day off.
Day, yeah, wake up
How
in the morning
that,
and
huh?
go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So any other days but Tuesday and Sunday, you can go fishing with Brian.
Come on down.
On the Some Fun. That's cool. How fun is that? Well, that's great. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. Of course, we'll talk to you coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week and see what's going on.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And don't forget, 1 week from today, it's the big day. It's going to be fun. And it's the Christmas Spectacular. So the best take from a text, best take from a call. We're going to have a lot of prizes rolling through here.
That'll be cool.
It's going to be next Sunday. But next Saturday, Captain Taro Takeuchi.
Hey, all right.
Going to be here. Yeah, Taro's been doing a lot of work on the Liberty, and they're getting gearing up for the upcoming season here. So Taro's going to tell you all about it, what's going on the Liberty. We want to thank JP for all his hard work on the phones and on the board, and, of course, Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Thank you, Adam, and all the guys, and, of course, you out there, texters, callers, and just you listeners. Thanks for being with us and supporting Let's Talk Hookup. We'll see you next Saturday and Sunday right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.